The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Glory be to God. Can I say first making God the head of my life? Can I say that? God has been good to us all day. We have had a wonderful time from Sunday school, wonderful lesson, to this present time. God is good. How he lined things up. It's amazing to me how God lines it up to make everything agree with itself. Our reading, we're not going to hold you long. Just going to read two verses of that said Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, after which we will ask God to bless us. And I'm going to move out of the way and let God have his way. The word of the Lord says from Paul, "For I want you to know," I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as has not seen my face in the flesh, that there be hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love, and attaining to all riches of the fullness assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I read three verses. Nevertheless, when something get good to you, you can't hardly stop. Nevertheless, I say to you again, God is good. Father God, in the name of our darling son Jesus, as we stretch our hand toward heaven, we acknowledge that you are our Father, you are our God, you are our trustworthy. Father, in you we find life. In you, Lord, we find that we can have our being. In front of you, Lord, we stand and confess that we give you praise, glory, and honor. And Father, I ask you at this time that you will move me out of the way and let your Holy Spirit speak, Lord. Father God, your blood is sufficient. Thank you for the shedding of your blood. Father God, it's in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Colossians is one of those that I read and I pass by it because it was such a small book. Only four chapters in the book of Colossians. There's another very short, we call it letter, the book of Jude. It's not chapters, it's letters. But today in the book of Colossians, we want to talk about building, or let's say keep building, keep rooting, keep on establishing. What Paul was talking to his young schoolboys is how to go and build a church, how to set it up. And he would come in at a later time and check it out to see that they do the right thing. We see in this verse that Paul had sent some of his people who actually did the founding of the church. It was Paul's direction. So in a sense, Paul did start the church. Paul had not actually been with them in person because Paul was in prison. The person who worked with Paul had been trained by him, and they was actually working under his supervision. Paul's concern for them was the same as for the church. His physical start began. He felt responsible for what had been taught them at the first. He said that their hearts may not be conformed, being knitted together in love and unto all riches of the assurance of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father. The mystery of God. Full assurance of understanding of the fullest of the gospel, along with encouraging and sharing love. Mark mature believers who thereby enjoyed the assurance of salvation. This verse could be translated that their mind may be strengthened. Then Paul also said in his word that their mind need to be instructed. Paul said they need to know the truth to safeguard from certain things, false teaching and false doctrine. Paul said, we want to enjoy the insurance that God has for us. The mystery, not all things was mystery to the believer or to the apostle. The mystery here that Paul is talking about Christ. Christ 100% God and 100% man at the same time. That was a mystery, and it still is a mystery in churches today. They can't understand how he was incarcerated. But Paul is trying to explain that under his teaching that the mystery of Paul saying that the Messiah is God incarnated, Paul is trying to do what he can to pull them together. Paul is trying to emphasize the bond that should be between all believers in Christ. The heart of man is what God really is. Whatever we believe in our heart determines what we are. The following scripture has a great deal toward the mystery of the explanation of some of the mystery. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 27, you will find these words. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son but the Father. And no one knoweth the Father but the Son. All of this is unknown to us, that we do not know the Father like we should. We do not know the Son like we should. One of the most important part of salvation is found in Romans 10. It says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in their heart and that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's true word coming from God himself. If you believe in your heart, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. It got to be in your heart. See, you can just say to someone that you love them, but you really don't mean it. It got to come from the heart. If I love you, then I won't mistreat you. If I love you, I won't be peeping over your fence trying to find out what you got. So I either take it from you or talk about how you got it. Why is it when you see a Mercedes in somebody's front yard that it always got to be they selling dope? Why is it always got to be that? Or he doing something, child. You know, he got to be doing something. I tell him like this, however he got it, it's not my business. I just know that where my connection come from, my connection is with God himself. And if God can bless them, surely God can bless me. And if I put him first like he tell me, then I'm an heir. And if I'm an heir, that means I got everything. I got access to everything that God has. God got it. I'm his child. You his child. You get everything. Not just wondering how you got it. He does not mean here that for not all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are unknown to man. Hidden signifies laid up. You know, if something laid up and you can't see it, it's a mystery to you. I used to be in the country long time ago. That's where I was birthed at. I would be out there fishing in my boat, and I'm going to get through this thing here. I fished in my boat, and no life jacket, couldn't swim, but the fishes were biting good. I was going on about my business because mama had to eat. And mama would send me at a certain fish, and I had to go get that fish. I couldn't go home until I got that fish. I don't know about you, but she called that fish a buffalo. I don't know, many know what a buffalo is. Deacon McFarland, am I talking to anybody up in here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I would go down through the bushes that hang over my head and not being aware of anything, hunting this fish. Sometime I would look up over my head and there would be snakes hanging over my head, laying in the bushes, hidden from me. But I wasn't going to bother them. And I prayed to God, they wasn't going to bother me. Because it's just like Jerry Clough said, it's getting hot up here, somebody going to have to shoot up here. So the thing is that the hidden things are not really hidden from God's children. You can open that thing up and it can come clear to you. Like my little brother said, you got to be careful with the word of God. Got to handle it real neat like. You know how you fix a pie on the stove or something like that? You got to fix that thing right. Because I hear people say my pie dropped. It's still in the stove, but it's dropped. I don't know what happened. The crust wasn't right or something, but it dropped. Didn't turn out right was what they're talking about. Nevertheless, this is God's wisdom, and he's talking. In sharp contrast, Paul declared the riches of true necessary salvation, sanctification, and glorification is found only in Jesus. See, you can't find this just going down the road. It's in Jesus Christ, who himself is God revealed in the flesh. All wisdom and knowledge are of God. Wisdom that we have is a gift from God. The treasures of knowledge can be ours only by studying God's word. We got to dig. We got to get in there. And we can find out that something is false if it is appeared to be flesh. That make any sense to anybody? For though I be absent from you, Paul telling the Colossians, I'm with you. You know you don't have to be right there next to a person to pray for them. I'm going to brag on myself a little bit if you don't mind. But I pray for everybody. I do. People I don't even know. I said, God, mankind, all of your creatures that you created, he want me to love them the way I love myself. That's a true fact. That I can't be praying like the Pharisee was praying when he went into the synagogue. He went into the synagogue and he looked over at this poor man. And this poor man wasn't even able to hold his head up. And the Pharisee with his big robe on, big necklaces of gold, rings on all 10 fingers, he looked at that man, that poor man. And he said, I thank God that I'm not like him. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. How treacherous we can be sometime. How hardened our heart can be sometime. That poor man couldn't raise up his head because he acknowledged that God is who he say he is. But the saying goes on that the prayer of the poor man was heard by God, and the rich man didn't even reach the roof. That's a true saying. Oh, you got to find it in God's word. You know, it says in Colossians 2 and 4, it said, and this is, I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He's talking to the Colossians. Enticing word. Beguile you. You first see that word in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. You know the story where Eve pointed the finger. Adam had just pointed the finger. This woman you gave me. Eve said, no, it was a snake that gave me. And I ain't gonna call it no apple. Beguile. In the Greek form, that word means deceive. You read through the Bible all about people's deceiving other people. And now we get here to 2017. What are they doing? The same thing. deceiving one another. When God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. How can you love God, a man that you never seen, and can't get along with your brother or your sister every day? How can you, when God is looking high and God looking right down on you, when you confess, I love the Lord with all my heart. I love him because he heard my cry. First making God the head of my life. That's why I ask you, can I say that and still stand firm? Mighty quiet in here. Come on, can I get an amen? Silk, where you at? What you doing way back there? Come on back up here. Yeah, you my amen, brother. Man, knowledge and wisdom got from the world are not true. From the very beginning, there had been false teaching who were there to try to separate new converts. And it still is. Those out there that teaching erroneous doctrine, teaching that Jesus was not truly who he said he was, but he was an angel. We accept that. I believe it was Charles Taze Russell. Is that right, Brother Cunningham? Charles Taze Russell, somewhere up in New York, that says he saw the spirit that came talking to him, and that was a new gospel. I better not say the other one. Let me look around first. Okay, we could. We good. I don't see no Buddhists up in here. They're good peoples. They're good peoples. I just don't want them praying for me. You don't mind. I don't want them praying for me. Because we heard some stuff in Sunday school that where some country you're not allowed to carry your Bible, some of them you ain't even able to talk about Jesus Christ. Thank God we live where we live, that we can have our way of life. And I still hear him talking about religions on TV. If they try to take it away from me, I got it in my heart. You got to put it in your heart. So if a day come when you can't worship on Sunday, well, do it on a Monday. If you can't worship in the outside with an open voice to people, well, just do it in your heart. You got to have it in your heart. You know, it said, hide my word in your heart. I believe David said that. So, well, no man can find it except God himself. I believe that's a true saying. I don't know whether you believe that or not, but a friend of mine, she had a hard time with her kids, but then she just constantly kept them learning the Bible, learning the Bible, learning the Bible. And then when the time come when they thought things was going to happen, it didn't happen. But guess what? They had that word in their heart, just in case. We got to have one of those just in case days where we put his word in our heart. You know, sometimes you can read God's word, and I ain't getting off my track here. I'm talking about God's word. Sometimes you can read his word. It's a little bit blurry to you. But you can pick up that thing again, God's word again, and it's clear. It's clear as day. Because I believe the word of God said, if you lack wisdom, knowledge, or understanding, you go to the one that made it. You go to God. My understanding might not be just right for you.
Yours might not be just right for me. But can we at least agree on one thing, that Jesus is the Christ? Absent in the flesh. They are good disciples and stable of faith, both military term depicting the solid rank of soldiers drawing up for battle. Paul looked outside. He was in prison. He saw these soldiers. They was how they dressed themselves, how they marched up and down, and how they was in harmony with one another. How when they sang the tune was just right, because they had been practicing. We have to practice to pray for one another. We have to get something together here and just get a circle and pray for one another. We got to pray for our pastor. You know what? My long time Prince of Peace, Mrs. Spurgeon said, they asked him, said, how can you preach so good and for so long? Mr. Spurgeon used to preach for a half a day. He did. And they asked him, how could he do that, pray so perfectly? And he pointed downstairs. And there was a group of about 500 women down there. And you know what their job was? Their job was to pray for that man. Don't tell me intercession prayer don't work. If you get enough people praying here, up in here, praying about a thing, I guarantee you, it'll change. We can change the shooting here in Cincinnati if we want to. If we stop hiding ourselves. God said, with me, you can do all things. Is it with you? Without me, you can't do nothing. This appears to be very much like the church of our day. They really love God. They really are Christian. But somewhere along their walk, they got all bored with Christ and start believing another gospel. You know how it is. You go to another city, and they be like, come on over here. We want you to go to church with us. Everybody that wants you to go with church with them, you better check it out first. Because they got a Scientology church over there in Kentucky. The windows are closed. You don't see nobody walking. You don't see nobody doing nothing. And then they jump up on TV. Oh, they beat us in there. They want all our finances. They want this. What you doing up in there? Paul had discernment. He had discerned their problem in his spirit. Since he was not there in person, he rejoiced over their faith in Christ being firm. Got to be firm. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. You got him? Walk in him. You got him? Talk in him. You got him? Sleep in him. How do I know you're a Christian? How do I know that? When I see the devil and you turning around walking the other way, turn away, about face on those things that deceive you in that world out there. Turn around and make a new start. Turn around and say, look, for God I live and for God I'll die. He don't want you to die for him. He done did enough, but confess. Confess with your lip that God knows everything. He's familiar with you. To walk in Christ is to live a life pattern after him. I told Deacon McFarland, I said, he done preached a sermon already this morning in Sunday school. That thing lined right up. It lined right up. I'm like, holy. I was like the angel told John, wait, you're going to tell it all. Don't write no more. Don't talk no more. Stop, Deacon. You're hurting me. But it's amazing. It's amazing how God's word lines up. It's a revelation when you can hear this here this morning and the same thing this afternoon. It's a revelation. That's God confirming his word. God confirms his word. And it says that this is just a saying, walk every day with Christ in your making decisions. Know how many times I made decisions when I was a young man? Thank God for Jesus. I bought a lot of property. I ain't had no business doing that. Then I gave it away. I had houses all over the place. Bought one for a penny. Whole house. But people living it. I was making good money. I'm making too good of money. You know that? You can make too good of money. I'm not joking. I'm not kidding about that thing. Because when you make too good of money, you start acting funny. You know, when Fred Sanford hit that thing like that on the side and the draw pop out a little money down in there, I did that and wasn't no money in there. There's a certain thing that's having too much money. It make you selfish. It make you think you more than other people. Oh, some people come by the house and they put a sign on my car. We having a Mercedes party and we showing the other people that we above. I'm like, I got that piece of paper. What's wrong with them? See, if you high, God got the reason why to bring you low. On your way going up, you better take some people up with you. Because the fact of the matter is, if you're going up with the wrong attitude, you're going to fall back down. What goes up, Murphy's Law, must come down. God is up there. God ain't coming down till he get ready. I don't care what they say. God is God. God created everything. You know, one of my commentators, a commentary, an expository, told me that he told me, said, you know, and I don't forget my thought because I heard somebody was just talking. nevertheless, let's just have some fun. Let's just agree. Can I get an amen? Anyway, I'm going to hurry up and get, you know, it's been a long day and I don't want to hold y'all too long. But, you know, God, he's sitting up there. I'm down here. I can't even think up there. Because the things of God is much higher than I could ever think. All I can do is visualize it in my mind. You know, when he talks over in the book of Revelation about a sea of glass, I'm like, good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Just to see a sea, and I go up to Mission, I go out there salmon fishing, walleye and all this, and that's a lot of water. A lot of water. God is awesome. In the beginning was God. In the end, it will be God. God created everything. Even evil, God created that. God allowed it to come into this world. God knows everything. Adam was a pretty smart cat. How could he talk Japanese, Chinese, German, all these different languages? You know who set that up? Adam did. Adam named all the animals. How did he know that was a rhinoceros? I would have called him a chicken, probably. The way I love chicken, meat is meat. Anyhow, Lord, I got to make y'all laugh every once in a while, so I don't want to see no sad faces. You know what I mean? I want to see a frown turned upside down. That'll make you smile. Yeah, I want everybody's heart to feel good. You know, God will hold me if I don't tell y'all something funny every once in a while. Rooted and built up in his and him and established in the faith. It says that how do you get all these things from God? Through faith. It got to be through faith. Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. The faith sent here is the object referring to the true of Christian doctrine. Spiritual maturity developed upward in the foundation of biblical truth are taught and recorded by the apostles. Paul is saying, let your root be grounded in Jesus. And then he said, let your rock be the God of ages. God is your rock. Everybody say, God is my rock, my foundation. He keep me in faith. Once in, never out. And I'm coming down. Beware lest any man spoil you. Spoil you here is the term for robbery. You know, when they say this is an army term, is that right, Dr. Keelan? Spoil. Go get the spoil. That's what they said in those days. We go get the spoil, and then we bring it back, and we divide it up. But it's a term for robbery. Don't let nobody rob you of your happiness. Don't let nobody rob you of your joy. Don't let nobody rob you of your Jesus. Don't let nobody rob you of the truth. You know the truth. You know the truth. There's no doubt. Don't let nobody take that away from you. Because there are people out there that would spoil you. I've had all kinds of people knocking on my door. You believe this? No, I'm a preacher. Get by. I know for myself. I can no more change over to your gospel or whatever you preach as well as you won't turn over to mine. Why don't you come go to church with me? No. We don't set foot in a Baptist church or no church. But they want you to go to church with them. Paul is saying, be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Be like an old oak tree. Wind cannot easily move you. When the winds of false doctrine come, you will be not shaken because you have rooted yourself in Jesus Christ. Have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think back on how you got here in the first place. I think Paul was talking to Timothy, and when he told him to remember his aunties, how you got there by the older people. You know, somebody, or I don't know about you, but somebody introduced you to Christ. I found Christ walking down the road. He wasn't lost, but me and him met. You know, kind of like Paul on the Damascus Road. He met him. And boy, oh boy, what a meet. What a meeting. Wow. You know, since that day, I have never felt like doing wrong again. Never want to turn back. You might try to tell me something different, but I know him for myself. You know him for yourself. I ain't going to get a chance to preach all this. Because I ain't going to hold y'all. I got to. I'm not worried, but I got to be obedient to God. But I want to tell you something. And maybe I can read, speed read. I got anybody that speed read? Anyhow, confession. This is a confession. I was on my way home Friday on 75. Y'all know how bad 75 is. And I got on there at Turkway, and I told the brothers about this. And all of a sudden, the traffic stopped, and I'm doing, and I got to keep this clean. So I'm gonna say I was doing 65. Y'all all right with that? Okay. But anyway, I didn't tell my wife because I was scared to. But anyway, this traffic come to a stop. And here I go, stop. And here come a car, ain't stopping. Can I say ain't? It's not stopping, okay? He's bailing down. He's coming at me. There's cars around me wrecking, all around me. I'm listening to Song of Solomon. But somewhere I kind of forgot about Solomon. But I kept my mind stayed on him. Because there's no way in my eyesight that I was coming out of that unhurt or dead. I kind of squinched up a little bit. I guess you could say squinched up or tightened up. A bristle up, because it was coming at my side. He was coming. His car went spinning out across there on 75. This is on 75. I think everybody got away unhurt. But after all that happened to me in a matter of 4 or 5 minutes, I drove on. I didn't look back. I didn't want to look back. Because I didn't know what I would have saw. I didn't want to see nobody hurt. But I got myself back into me some Solomon for real. Talking to God. You know, because God said, I will encamp all around you. I will protect you from the pestilence at night. The arrows flying. I will protect you. He had his arm on me. He had his hand all over that vehicle car. I was going home to tell the wife, truck tore up. It's tore up. It would have been, except the grace, God's grace. He kept me. I'm on. Be obedient. And this is going to take just a few minutes. He quickened together with him. Only those union with Christ Jesus can those hopeless dead in the sin in their sin receive eternal life. That's what I wanted to get. Take the imitation and exert the life-giving power to awake and unite sinners with his Son. God did that. The spiritual dead has no ability to make themselves alive. Forgiving you all your trespasses, God freed you, God completed you, God did forgive you of all your guilty sins. Somebody say, I ain't had no sin. but we were born into it, so we all right. We okay. Who put the faith in Jesus. That's you. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you know what? This is the most powerful verse in the Bible. Once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he accepted you into the fold, and to his lambhood, now, you are untouchable. You are worth so much to God. He said, if there's 99 or 100 sheep and one of them went away, leave the 99 and go get that one. Go get him. Because God don't want one of you to be lost. It is his will that you spend eternity with him. With that, I'm going to take up a collection. Oh, I'm just kidding, y'all. Help me out for a minute. Let me do this. Let me. I will trust in the Lord. Okay. I'm going to sing a half of a song. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I will trust in the Lord. Ooh, trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. Guess what?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.